Discuss the sugya of a Dorshin Binyan HaShayom, very appropriate for this time of year. So the Gemara tells us in the Gil Daf Dalet Amud Aleph that Amar Rabbi Yishub Ben Levi, of a series of sugyas, Rabbi Yishub Ben Levi discusses, and one of them is Purim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. If Purim falls out on Shabbos, we know the din is, we do not read Megillah because Gzer the Rabbah. We're concerned that you might carry the Megillah over to Bucky who's going to read it, so there is no reading the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. So what you do is, Sholin v'darshin bin yano shayom, he says, that you ask and you darshin about the sugya, the whole discussion of Purim, when Purim falls out on Shabbos. So the Rashi writes, what type of drasha do you give? So Rashi writes, Sholin v'darshin mamidin turgaman lefnei chacham. The drosh igeres Purim b'rabim. You're supposed to darshin the whole story of Purim, the whole letter of Megillas Esther, and you speak about that story, you speak about the nes. It's a drasha you give. You give a drasha, a musar, a chizik. That's Shitas Rashi. And Tosos also says the same thing. Tosos writes, he's asking a certain question, but what you glean from Tosos, he says, what happens during the week? Maybe you should give a shir also in a regular Purim. When Purim falls out during the week, maybe there should also be a drasha, there should be a shir. So Tosos says, no. You only have a shir when Purim falls out on Shabbos because you can't read the Megillah. When Purim falls out during the week, and you're reading the Megillah, so then there is no need for a shir, because Bechol, he writes, Ein tzarech sharei korin ha-Megillah v'tfei ika pirsuma nisa. There's a greater pirsuma nisa when you read the Megillah. What better description of the Megillah, of the Nes, than reading the Megillah? It's only when we can't read the Megillah, like on Purim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, that's when you have to give a drasha about the story of Purim. But according to both Rashi and Tosos, what's a drasha? What type of drasha is the Rebbe giving? He's giving a drasha. He's giving a drasha on the Nes, Purim, describing the story and all the miracles that took place. That's the nature of this shir, according to Rashi and according to Tosos. It's a drasha. But the Gemara, the very last Gemara of the entire Masech, the Megillah, it speaks about the same inyan. The Gemara, Daf Lamed Beis, says, Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael. Moshe established that Yisrael Shehu Sholin V'Darshin Binyan HaShayom, that you should be giving a shir on the topics of related to that holiday. Hilchos Pesach, but Pesach, that means in a shir that's on Pesach should be on the topics of Pesach. And Hilchos Atzeres Batzeres, and Shavuos, the topic should be related to Halachas of Shavuos. And Halachas Hilchos Chag B'Chag. So what type of drush is being given there? So Rashi says something different. Rashi here says that milamed shayu medaber b'imahen halachos kol moed v'moed. Bizmana, you speak not about the nes that took place, and not a drush and chizik and musar. Rather, you speak of the halachas lo diachuke hel kim v'tarasav, to teach clients what to do. It's a practical discussion, practical shir. How much matzah should you eat? How much mara should you eat? How much dal kosa should you drink? So there seems to be a steer in Rashi. Is the drasha, is the shir about the nes, about the story, an inspirational story, or is it halacha l'maisa, what should be done? That's the steer in Rashi. Rashi in Dav Dalet says it's a drasha about the nes, and Rashi in the very last daf of the entire Masechta says it should be halacha l'maisa, a very practical shir. That's the debate within Rashi. And the truth is, it's not a stira. They both could be true, because the Beis Yosef writes in number 6, very clearly, he says they're both true. The Beis Yosef writes, when talking about this halacha, it's brought down in halacha that a person should be sholin behilchos Pesach b'Pesach and hilchos Chag b'Chag. The Beis Yosef writes in number 6, b'Chag haynu lidrosh b'tamim, to understand the reasons why we celebrate the holiday. Shebavurim, because of these reasons, because of the nisim, nitztavu b'moi, we're commanded to keep the yontif. That's number 1, darshin netam. But number 2 says the Beis Yosef, v'gam kein lidrosh b'dvarim, also to teach she'aser u'mutter, what's permitted and what's prohibited to be done. So there's two layers of this shir. And that's why many have the custom, there's a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, well, many have the custom to split it in half. First half to give halach l'maisa, how to do a galus kelim, how to kasher everything, what to eat, or maybe one very particular halacha. Probably back then they gave halachas on everything. This is how you do a galus kelim. This is how you do libun gamor, libun kal. This is how much you should eat. This is how you should lean. And then the second half is a drasha b'tamim, some level of chizuk and some level of musr and pnimius in the sugya. And it's based on this base Yosef, which is really based on these two different rashis, one in daf dalet in Megillah, which is about the drasha of the tam and the nes, and the rashi in daf lamed beis, which is about the halacha. Now the Shaar Tzion writes, number 8, the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Brura, writes that... Shaar Tzion writes as follows. Dilechach ha'olam mekilim bedavar. And this is the reason why the world is very mekel. Mishum desomchen al kriyas ha'Torah binyan hashayom. Many people don't give a shiur. It's a very busy time, especially Pesach time. It's very busy for the rabbi to prepare a drasha. And he gives a Shabbos a gadol drasha. And when it comes to Yontif itself, many times there's not even a drasha during the daytime of Yontif because the meal ends late and everyone's very tired. Everyone wants to go home and have a meal. And then between Mincha Ma'ariv, oftentimes the rabbi is so busy, so have the guys back from Eretz Yisrael give shiur. That's what we're doing this year. Mincha Ma'ariv between the days of Yontif. I don't know who it is, but the rabbi was asking different people who came back from Eretz Yisrael to give shiur, probably split up. I don't know, each night three different guys may saying 15 minutes each. It's a busy time for the rabbis, especially Pesach. So it says the Mishnah Brura, so how you mekayim the din of Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach? When a bachur gives a shiur, it's a very nice thing, but he's not really saying something necessarily that the tzibur is walking away with. Usually you give it for the bachur to learn how to give a shiur. It's really training him and an opportunity to teach over and to give nachas to the father. And the tzibur is not walking away that much. Sometimes you have an exceptional kid. But it's really for the bachur and the family, not so much for the tzibur. So how are you accomplishing the din of Hilchos Chag b'Chag, Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, if no halachas are really being said over? So the Shaar Tzion's mechadesh that we're somich on the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah that we read on the Yontif morning is related, of course, to the Yontif. So we're going to be reading, I'm not sure which parsha we read for Pesach, we're reading from Pri A and maybe Mishpatim, I don't remember all the different parsha we're reading from, Emor, and the Karbanos in Pinchas. So that Kriyas HaTorah will substitute for the need to teach a shiur in Yonah Shayom. But the Mishnah Brura, who of course we know his focus was on halacha, we're not very comfortable with this because what halacha are we going to gain? Even if we do pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah, and we know what the words are saying, we are not at that level where we can look at a pasuk and then derive the halacha straight from there. When the Gra was on his deathbed, all he asked for was a Tanakh, and on the Gra's level, he was able to read a Tanakh, and each word of the Torah, he's able to see, you know, halachas and drashas, each word. If we look at a word, we say, oh, the word means this. Vayomer means, and he says. When the Gra looked at the word Vayomer, he saw, like, Torahs, drashas coming out of each word, because he, once you learn everything, everything really is hinted at in the Torah. So we're not on such a level to read the, hear the Kriyas HaTorah and get it. And the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Brura writes, that the whole point of the drasha is Hilchos Pesach, but it's Pesach, halachas. To learn halacha maisa, what are you supposed to do? That's why the Mishnah Brura wrote the Mishnah Brura, because to tell us what to do. What type of halacha maisa is being learned out from hearing Kriyas HaTorah? And for that reason, the Shaar Tzion was not very comfortable with fulfilling the din of Inyan HaShayom with the Kriyas HaTorah alone. And he very much encouraged that there should be a halacha shir on the Yontif itself. Okay, so this is all when it comes to, right now we have Purim. The Gemara clearly says, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, Hilchas Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchas Chag b'Chag, Hilchas Atzeres b'Atzeres, all have a din that you're supposed to give a halacha, perhaps a drasha shir as well, on the Yontif. And the Gemara in Daf Dalet tells us, Purim also is a day that you're supposed to give, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, then you're also supposed to give a shir on Inyan HaShayom. But when Purim falls out during the week, then there is no need for a drasha because the Megillah substitutes for that. Now the Megillah only substitutes for it if you think the point of the shir is to talk about the nes. But if you think the point of the shir is to speak about the halacha, so even on Purim, there should be a halacha shir in the day of Purim. That's what really comes out of this whole discussion. Now what about other Yomim Tovim? Is there an Indian to give a shir on that topic on other Yomim Tovim? So the Pnei Yeshua, at the end of number 9, the Pnei Yeshua addresses Chanukah. He says, the very last two lines of number 9, he says, Shma'inan miha. We learn from our sugi in Megillah Daf Dalad, Midemaksha Hashas, from the fact that the Shas asks, the Gemara asks the question, Ma'ir Yapurim, Afil Yom Tov Nami, Why does the Gemara only say Purim? There's an inyan to speak of the topic of Purim. Every Yontif, there's an inyan to speak of the inyan Shayom. So Alma, what we see from here says the Pnei Yeshua that de'ein lechalik bein deraisa lederabanan. There is no need to distinguish between a deraisa Yontif, such as Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, versus a derabanan Yontif, such as Purim, and must be imkain. Bechanakanami mitzvah lishal lidrosh minyan shayom. Pnei Yeshua's mechada is not only Purim, but even on Chanukah, there's an inyan to speak on topic, on halachas related to Chanukah, and the story of the nes of the Chashmonaim. Now, there is room to be mechalik, though. The Pnei Yeshua does not. He says Purim and Chanukah, but we know there is a jump from Purim to Chanukah. Purim is a story that's a part of Tanakh. It was much earlier. It was during Galus of the Beis Hamikdash, between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. So that was closer to Divrei Kabbalah. Chanukah, which is later on, during Bais Sheni, there is no Deraisa, there are no Psukim in Tanakh we have about Chanukah, so there is room to say maybe Chanukah definitely does have a lesser level than Purim, so maybe there is no inyan to darshan on Chanukah, but in the end of the day, Pnei Yeshua said that there is an inyan to darshan about Chanukah. And Misvar makes sense because the whole point is to teach you halacha l'maisa. So whenever there's an inyan of halacha l'maisa, which is very seasonal, you should teach what time to light the candles, how much oil to put in, about getting hana, what can you do? If you're not home, who should light the candle for you? Mishchatei bepruta. There are many halachas related to Chanukah, so it makes sense why Chanukah would also require a shir on that very topic. Now the Marsha's mechadish, a tremendous din. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So we have right now the Shlosh Regalim, then we have a Chanukah, the Purim, and then we extended it to Chanukah as well. Well, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, seemingly we would think it's a deraisa. It is a deraisa, and therefore you would imagine it would warrant a drasha. There's halachas to follow. Certainly in Rosh Hashanah, shofar blowing, Yom Kippur fasting, and certainly there's in there's no nes to speak of. There's certainly some chizik in Musar. What better time than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to get a drasha about chizik in Musar? So the Marsha is mechadish the following. Marsha says why he asks the question. Why doesn't the Gemara mention Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that too requires a drasha binyan shayom? So he says based on the Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara there is discussing that about saying a shechianu. Let's take a little. Get a little off topic for a moment. A Shechianu. There's two Gemaras about what the criteria is for saying a Shechianu. There's one Gemara in Brachos which says when a person buys a new suit, a Beged Chadash, or a Bais Chadash, a new house, he says a Shechianu because he gets Simcha. He's happy. There's another Gemara in Erevin which says, no, something that comes Zman Lizman, something that comes from time to time, season to season, that's when you say a Bracha of Shechianu. So what's the difference? Is it a Din Zman? Or is it din in simcha? A new house doesn't come zman to zman. It comes, it's a one-time purchase, hopefully, and sometimes it's a couple times, but you buy a house and you get simcha, but it doesn't come zman to zman. It doesn't come periodically. And you could have something that comes zman to zman, which is not necessarily besimcha. So I'll give you a nafkamina, which the Gemara itself, in the last, related to Pesach, the last daf of Maseches Pesachim, the last daf has a following question. It wants to know, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, Pinyon HaBen, which by the way, I'll go on another tangent about Pinyon HaBen for a second. Rabbi Noble was telling me the other day that he's today his great grandson's Pinyon HaBen. So he was looking for something to say over. So he found a beautiful Chassam Sofer. Hey, Wanga, you want to borrow this for davening, the article? If you want it, if you're looking for it, feel free. Okay. See you before 4 or 7 o'clock if you don't mind. Thanks. He found that there's a discussion whether or not you could use a shliach for Pidyon HaBen. For Bris Milah, we all use a shliach because none of us are molim, I don't think, here. So you appoint the shliach to do the Bris Milah, appoint the mol. Now, if you were making a Pidyon HaBen, could I appoint a shliach, even though I can if I wanted, but in theory, could I say, you could do the Pidyon on my son. Would that work? So the Chassam Sofer says not, because when it came to the Bechor, Makas Bechor was in Mitzrayim, what does it say? Who performed Makas Becharos? Right, Kosh Baruch Hu? Ani v'la shliach. I did it, not a shliach. So it's based on the idea that Gzeres HaKasev tells that Shlichus didn't work for Becharos, so too Shlichus shouldn't work for Pidyon HaBen, which is the Bechor as well. Right, interesting Chiddush, interesting Drasha. So on the topic of Pidyon HaBen, we say HaShechiyanu. So who says the HaShechiyanu? Have you ever been a Kohen as part of Pidyon HaBen? You're. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who says the HaShechiyanu? To put you on the spot. Anyone here? What? Who? Anyone here?
Edwin.
What?
Miss Edwin.
Sure. Anyone remember who says the Pidyon HaBen? Anyone know? The Baal of the Aviyah Ben or the Kohen? What?
Aviyah Ben.
The Aviyah Ben says it? Yeah? Not the Kohen? Yeah, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said it. I mean, the one we just
okay.
Said.
So the din is, so what's the reason for this? So the Gemara is a suffix. Who should say it? The Gemara says, on one hand, maybe the Kohen should say it because a Kohen makes a lot of money. These five silver coins are worth a lot of money, a few $100 nowadays. So he's a besimcha, he received something. Or maybe the Gemara says the Aviyah Ben should say it because it's a mitzvah that comes as man lizman. It doesn't come periodically, but it's a new milestone that he's reaching now. So because of it's a din in zman, says the Gemara, maybe the Kohen can reach a new milestone. The Aviyah Ben should say it. But if it's a din in simcha, the Kohen gets the simcha because he has the new money now. That's the suffix the Gemara has. Is it mizman, lizman, or is it a din in simcha? We have other cases as well. Just to bring out this point, that what about a bris milah? We know the bris milah, there is no shechianu. There's no shechianu. What?
Svarim say it.
Right, Svarim say it, and the Eretz Yisrael, they say it. So there is no, according to Ashkenazim, there is no shechianu. Why not? So what's machlokus, whether there is a shechianu or not shechianu? Very good. The Ashkenazim hold that there is no simcha at a bris milah. Why is there no simcha at a bris milah?
The baby suffers.
So it's a din and simcha, there's no shechianu. But if you think that shechianu is a din and zman, this man is a new milestone regardless of any simcha. So, okay, unfortunately the child is going through pain, but there's still a milestone you've reached and you should say a shechianu. So that's the machlokus, whether there's a shechianu at a bris milah. So, on this topic of shechianu, so the Gemara says, is there shechianu by Rosh Hashanah? So he says the Gemara that on one hand it comes man lizman, it comes every year, there should be a shechianu, and we do say shechianu. But the Marsha says that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not called zman lizman, because diyesh la'adam litain libo l'tshuva b'chol shana, that a person should do tshuva every single day. It doesn't come only annual. Oh, now it's Saras Mei Tshuva. Let's do tshuva now. That's not how tshuva works. We have extra inspiration, chizik, during our Saras Mei Tshuva. But certainly we should be inspired, hopefully on our own, to do tshuva every single day. So that's not called zman lezman. So he says the only time there's an Indian to speak about the topic of the Yontif, if it's been a year, I don't remember what to do. It's been so long. It's been so long since I last kept Pesach. I don't remember how much matzah to eat. I don't remember how much wine to drink. I don't remember how to build a sukkah properly, or what's a kosher esrog, what's a pasul esrog. So those in Yontif, it takes a year, you forget. The Gemara says, one of the things that Gemara Pesachim says, that had a Kadosh Baruch Hu not made us forget the mace, we wouldn't be able to be functional. A person loses a relative, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a bracha to be able to forget something. Because if you don't have shechah, if you don't forget, people won't be able to move on because they're remembering who they lost. So there's almost a bracha. Forgetfulness is actually a bracha to a certain extent. But the Gemara says that's why after a year we stop avelis, because after a year a person already forgets that pain. So you see, after a year people forget the halachas. So Pesach, last year, I don't remember what I did. I don't remember how I kasher. People ask the same question from year to year. I answer the same questions from year to year, but I don't necessarily remember them. I have to review it myself to give the right psak. So people forget over a year. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where hopefully every day we're inspired to do tshuva, so there's no need to give a shir about doing tshuva on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's the Chiddush Marsha.
All about tshuva, nothing else really.
Exactly. It's a great question. So Marsha pretty much says it's all about tshuva. But what about the fasting? What about the halachas of leather shoes or washing hands or Rosh Hashanah blowing shofar? There are a lot more other halachas which are not kept every single year.
But it's all part of
tshuva. Yeah, it's true, but we don't blow the shofar every single day, which I think you're asking a great question. That's one, even though it's the biggest topic of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is doing tshuva, there are still other elements, even though they're related to tshuva. I don't know, how many kolos do I need to have? We're not speaking between the different, so there are other halachas. Yeah. So I think it's a great question. I don't know. Great question. Okay. Now, The Sfas Emes speaks about, what about Shabbos? What about Shabbos? Is there an Indian to give a drasha related to Shabbos? If you look at many of the Sifrei Chassidus, they'll certainly, like the Shem Shmuel comes to mind. He'll give a drasha, he'll write a drasha on the topic, a halacha, dvar Torah, usually based on a medrash. And many of the times afterwards, he'll connect that drasha to Shabbos. It almost always connects to Shabbos in general. As opposed to all other drashas, many other non-Chassidish Sfarim, they'll give a dvar Torah related to the Parsha, but not to Shabbos. They would read the Parsha on Shabbos, but it gives a dvar Torah about the Parsha Tzavan, Karbanos. But there is no connection to Shabbos. A lot of the Chassidish Sfarim will always say, and this connects to Shabbos because this Inyan of whatever the Inyan is. So the Sfas Emes is the Shitaso. I'm not familiar with the Sfas Emes ala Torah so much. She's a very, very hard sefer to read. You need like the footnotes underneath the Sfas Emes to really appreciate what he's saying. But the Sfas Emes writes in number 11, he says, Devadai Nira, this is the bold. It clearly appears to me, Ditakanas Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, Lidrosh Binyan HaShayom, Hayagam Al Shabbos. It also applies to Shabbos. Sharei Gam Shabbos Kosev Bechlal HaModim. Right, the very first Parsha Emor, and these are the Moadim, and then it speaks about Shabbos. If you look at Parsha Emor, it says, Eilu Modei Hashem, I remember all the Pesukim by heart, Sheish Yamim, and this is Shabbos. That's not a Moed Shabbos. Elamai Sfas Emes says Shabbos is a Moed. And therefore there's an Inyan to speak about the Shabbos, about Inyanei Shabbos on Shabbos. Now there's that well-known Gra, maybe you know this Gra, that the Gemara, everyone asks the question. It says, oh, these are the Moadim. The first Moed is Shabbos, the next one is Pesach. Well, Shabbos isn't a Moed. So the Gra says, when it says Sheish Yamim, and then Shabbos is the seventh day, it's not really referring to Shabbos. It's really referring to the Yamim Tovim. What does that mean? There's 6 days of the week, and then there's Shabbos. 6 days of the week refer to the six Yamim Tovim, where it's somewhat Chol, where you could cook Ochel Nefesh. So six Yamim Tovim. What are the six Yamim Tovim? Well, we have 2 days of Pesach, first day and last day. Shavuos is one day. And then we have Rosh Hashanah you could cook. And then you have Sukkot. Sukkot. So you have six. First day Sukkot, and then Shemiyat Tzaris is 6 days of Yantif, where it's like Chol, we're allowed to do Ochel Nefesh. The seventh day Shabbos is really Yom Shabbos, and referring to Shabbos Shabbos on Yom Kippur, where there is no cooking that's permitted. So that introduction of 6 days in Shabbos is not really referring to Shabbos, it's referring to a summation of all the Yom Tovim we have that are going to be related in Parsha Emor. But according to the Sfas Emes, the Pasha Pshat of the Pasuk is that it is referring to Shabbos, and Shabbos, in fact, is one of the Yom Tovim, and therefore a person should give a drasha related to Shabbos. Now, again, I'm going a lot of tangents today because things are popping in my head, but if that's the case, what happens on a Yontif? Let's say Shabbos Chol HaMoed, this year, next Shabbos, is Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. So what's the maftir that we read? We read something related to the Yontif. We read the Karban. We read the Karbanos on all the different Yom Tovim. So if Shabbos really is an Inyan of, there's an Inyan of Yontif to it, so shouldn't we read the Karban Shabbos? We should write. And we should read the Kedafka, the Karban Shabbos. The Musaf, Karban Musaf Shabbos. We should read every single Shabbos in the Maftir, just like we do every other Yontif. Why is Shabbos any different?
Why don't we read on Shabbos?
Why don't we read the Haftorah, the Maftir?
Something for Shabbos.
Ah, exactly. Right, so this is what you're talking about right now is that Tosus and Tosus McGill talks about this Inyan. Tosus, one answer says what you're saying, Shlomi, that really has to be related to the Parsha, and it's not related to the Parsha. The other answer, Tosus, what Yossi's saying is that no, really you should read every single Shabbos, we should read Karban Musaf of Shabbos. Problem is, only two Psukim. And we know every Aliyah must have at least three Psukim. So if we're going to read about the Rosh Chodesh topics in Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh has nothing to do with Shabbos, so therefore the only time we ever read the Karban Musaf of Shabbos on Shabbos is if it's Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yilz B'Shabbos. When we read the whole section of Rosh Chodesh, so then we throw in Shabbos Parshas, the Karban Musaf of Shabbos as well. But really, according to one daya, we really should read the Karban Musaf of Shabbos every single day, which seems to indicate that Shabbos is somewhat of a Yontif. So that's a big discussion, whether Shabbos is Ikrei Moed or it's not Ikrei Moed. Is it called the Yontif or is it not called a Yontif? Okay. Now, what's the whole idea? What's the idea behind giving a drasha in Yonah Shayom? If the idea is to give over halachas, so I understand why, to teach you what to do, halach lemaisa. But if the idea is to speak about the Nes or speak about the Inyan, some drasha, some chizik, some musr, what's the connection? What's the walk away? Why dafka and Shabbos? So Nefesh HaChaim says an amazing, amazing piece here. Number 12, Rav Chaim Yevilajin says, V'lo od, not only that, el shagam osa kedusha, v'chiyusan, that kedusha, that life source, v'oran, the light of the shel mitzvos, shemekadshin mechaim lahadam, that give life to man, hamekaimam, those who keep it, hu nilkach v'nishba rak mikdushasa v'ora shel Torah hakedusha. All the mitzvahs that we do on Pesach, all the matzahs that we're eating, and the dal kosos that we're drinking, it all stems from the Torah. Ki a mitzvah lesle megarma shum chiyus v'kedusha v'or klal. A mitzvah on its own, matzah, has no worth to it. Rak mitzvah kedushas osios haTorah haksuvos binyan osa mitzvah. Only because the Torah and the words it put down on klaf, that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, that now makes my bread into something significant. So the Torah is what infuses every mitzvah of the Kedusha, with tzitzis, with tefillin, with davening, everything, it all comes from the osios. So that's why, when it comes to celebrating Yontif, by learning about the Indian of Yontif, by reading the Pesukim of Yontif, that now infuses the whole day with tremendous amount of Kedusha. That's adding mitzvahs, with it adds Kedusha to all the various mitzvahs. Based on this idea, that's what I heard Rav Schechter say, the reason why there's Kedusha in Har HaBayis. Why? Because once the Aron was brought to its place, and the Aron had the Luchos, both the Shivrei Luchos and the Luchos Shnios, and the Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all those Osios, that's where all the Kedusha comes from. Prior to that, there was no Kedusha, because all Kedusha, based on this Rav Chaim, all comes from the Osios of the Torah. That applies to the Kedushas HaMakom of the Beis HaMikdash, it applies to mitzvahs, and applies to Yamim Tovim as well. That's the beginning here. Yeah, very good. So I'm not sure how it works with that, I don't know. I'm not sure, it could be there's a lesser level, maybe the potential of Kedusha, I'm not sure. It's a good question. But that's also part of the debate the Gemara and Yuma has. What happened to the Aron after Bayis Rishon? Some say it was taken away to Rome, in which case there is no Kedusha anymore. But according to one opinion, it was hidden down below. If it's down below, that would make sense. Why was that still, even though we don't know where it is, the Kedusha is still in the area to affect Har Bayis? But that's a good question with Yaakov Avinu, I'm not sure.
The idea that there was Kedusha there and there's going to be Kedusha there again. So, because of that, that's the reason why that we
right? But not because of the Osios, just not because of the Sefer Torah, you're saying.
Right. Because it's there now, but because of the and that would answer the thing with Yaakov being off.
Yeah. Could be. Could also be really the Shechina. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, there are other arenas we have where the we see the power of the Osios, the power of the Torah, substituting for a mitzvah. The Shari Tshuva quotes a Mishlah. We have this case when it comes to Malav Malka. Malav Malka, let's say a person not able to have Malav Malka, so that a person, by him learning the halachas of Malav Malka, that's a way of substituting the actual eating of Malav Malka. We have also related to Pesach, not this year, but when Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos. So now, Motzei Shabbos is the first Seder. And we have a hard time getting in three meals in because already by the morning you can't have chametz anymore and you can't have matzah. So that's the whole question. We had this, I don't remember the last time we had this, but whatever it was, how do you get three meals in? Because after 11 o'clock in the morning you can't eat matzah because it's close to Pesach and you can't eat chametz anymore. We don't own it. How do you get the third meal in? So different suggestions are made. Maybe go to Hashkama, you'll eat, wash, and then you'll walk around the block and have another meal, get two meals in before the Issa Chametz kicks in. Or the other suggestions brought down in the postgame is, if you learn during Shalosh Shudas time, that can substitute for Shalosh Shudas. The learning can substitute for Shalosh Shudas. Now, some people rely on this in general. It should not be relied on in general. It really should have bread. A person can't have bread. They could have mizonos, if not that. There's a whole hierarchy of things. But what? From what I recall, I think it could be anything. I think so. I didn't double check it, but I think anything.
Based on what we've been re-learning, it seems like it's specific to learning the inyanim that have to do with the mitzvah that you're not doing.
I would agree. I would agree to you that based on what we're saying, it would make sense to learn about shal shudis. I'm just recalling that. I don't think they specify what has to be learned. I might have to look back there, but what we're saying, you're correct. Yeah. What? Again, if a person can't have a meal, so they quote the shla that you could say. Again, I wouldn't recommend this, but sometimes it's a person goes to a late kiddush, a late lunch, and a late shal shudis, and just mamish can't eat malav malka, very, very much b'dieved, so then there's a shla to rely on. But I wouldn't recommend this at all, lichatchila. Okay. Now that's why the Shla also writes, there's an inyan to dafka learn the Mishnayos of that particular Yom Tov. That's why in the article you oftentimes have the Mishnah, and if you are the Machs of Rosh Hashanah, you have the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur you have Maseches Yuma, and so on and so forth, because the Mishnah, it was the same Osios of Neshama, is really the source of all the Kedusha of that particular Yom Tov. Okay, now, we'll... I saw a sefer that I borrowed from Rav Weinberger. I apparently borrowed it from him last year, and I didn't remember I borrowed it from him, and I was going through all my Haggadahs. And I pulled this one out, and I saw on the front Rav Weinberger's name on this. So I said, okay, I have your sefer, I need to return it to you. But while I was there, I was just kind of leafing through, and I saw that he had a shtickle, which actually Rav Weinberger had, he had marked with a little sticker on this topic. And at the end of the sefer, the author is Rav Ariel Vigas. So, he has a shaila. What about Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat and Lag BaOmer? Is there also an inyan of learning or giving a shir on that topic? Now, if it has to do with halachas, if the whole idea is to give hilchos Pesach BaPesach, there are no halachas to really speak of when it comes to Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat neither. And Lag BaOmer, there's maybe one halacha you can mention in the Ramah, nothing more than that. I'm not sure if it would warrant a halacha shir. But if the idea is to give a certain drush, the pnimis of the day, and there certainly is a lot of hidden secrets on these days, according to the Svarim, there's more pnimis, more kedusha on these hidden holidays than on the more known holidays, so maybe there would be room to, there should be a drush given on these days, so that's the suffix he has. I thought it was very interesting to apply to the other lesser known or lesser kept Yom Tovim. I'll finish off with this, I'll say one last piece, then we'll stop here. Related to this week's parsha about the concept of learning really adds kedusha to the yom tov. It adds kedusha to the mitzvah. So this week's parsha says taras chatas. It's a pasuk that says taras chatas. So the Gemara in Menachos, the very last daf of Menachos, wants to know what does it mean taras chatas. Taras chatas is a strange lashon. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yitzchak is mechadesh that kolha osik bikarban chatas. It's key. I mentioned this on Sunday. Those who were there on Sunday, kilu hikriv chatas. Those who learn the karbanos, it's as if they are bringing the actual karbanos. So we see there that there's an inyan of learning can replace a mitzvah. Just like we mentioned by shal shudis and we mentioned by malav malka, so too this is mefurish gemara that it could replace the karbanos themselves. That's the discussion that's mentioned there. So, was I saying kolosik b'torah, but chatas kilu hikav chatas? And I was going to mention, lost my train of thought now. Anyway, the number now. Oh, this is the point I was going to say. So the Gemara in Shabbos talks about the story of when David HaMelech died, and the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed, again, I mentioned this on Sunday. He was negotiating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu which day he'll die. Hashem says, I can't tell a person how long he'll live for, but I'll tell you which day of the week you're going to die. And the Gemara says you're going to die on Shabbos, and David HaMelech wasn't very pleased with that day because that means there's not going to be a proper Levaya and the Kavod HaMeis and there's no Hesped. So he preferred to die during the week. So he says, okay, could I get an extra day? What, 24 hours? So Hashem says, I can't do that because it's a klal that once one Malchus comes in, the other Malchus can't stay over. Shlomo HaMelech, it's time for him to reign. Sunday's his day. You have to die. You can't die a day later. So then David HaMelech says, well, I'll give up a day. I'll give a day of my life, I'll give it up to you, and let me leave on Erev Shabbos. It happens to be the Gemara in Shabbos says, when a person dies in Erev Shabbos, he walks right into Gan Eden, but that's not what he's discussing right now. David HaMelech wasn't concerned of going to Gan Eden, I think he was pretty certain he was entering right into Gan Eden. He just wanted to have a proper kavod, proper kavod hameis, proper levaya. So Hashem says that you can't die a day early either, because one day of your learning is greater than the thousands of karbanos than Shlomo HaMelech is ultimately going to bring. So the idea we see from there, not only does the Gemara Menachos say that kol osik betaras chadas kilu hikrav chadas, in fact learning, at least David HaMelech's learning, is greater than actually bringing karbanos. And that's the power of Torah that we have. All right, so Mirtz Hashem, we should continue to learn more and more and continue the Chabura. We're obviously going to take a break now for Pesach. Afterwards, we're going to jump to Daf Zayin and Aleph. We're going to continue with the Ein Bein, all the sugyas Ein Bein, and we'll pick up after Pesach, Mirtz Hashem. All right.